Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, listeners nationally and internationally. We want you to know you are live with Apostle John L. Solomon, the lion among lions in Lion's Den. It's my purpose today to bring you strength. Strength from the Lion's Den is a compelling talk show that discusses life's difficult situations through relevant topics, important issues, and empowerment from a biblical perspective. The Lion's Den will bring you the energy of encouragement, transcendent godly wisdom, the efficacy of knowledge and education, and primarily strength to the weary and the victorious in life, through our sourcehood of our connection with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So you know what to do right now, listeners. Go ahead and roar. Victory. Come on, let it out. Come on, roar for your prosperity. Yeah, roar for your deliverance. Come on, just roar. A rough day. Come on, roar. Come on, let it all out. Listen. Yeah, that line is calling me tonight. Come on. Oh, we got time for you tonight. I'm telling you, I got my guest tonight. Listen, my big brother ain't on tonight. He got some business to tend. He always up to something. But nevertheless, Mr. CEO, shout out to you, Prophet Philip Reed. We love you, brother. But tonight, I still got a show for you. I got an incredible life former. And when you there's more than meets the eye here. So you know, like the iceberg sticking up is on top, but it's so much more underneath. You'd be like, wow. So, listen, I'm going to go ahead and let you know who I have on here tonight. My guest is a North Carolina native, currently resides in Norcross, Georgia. Her passion has always been to work with special needs kids and has done so for 12 years, whose path began at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. See, seeing the difficulties these kids endure, she conceived the desire to advocate for them and bring awareness to the many sicknesses that are unknown to most, as well as to highlight where and how communities can help make a difference in these children's lives. Being fully inspired, she started her own 501c3 nonprofit youth foundation, International Talent Elite Enterprise, geared towards youth interested in performing arts and entertainment, where character building, exploring talent development, self-confidence, focusing on bullying and teen suicide, as well as life coaching. Also, fundraising for their special needs or families in need, or advocating on anything that may be affecting them. Her foundation focuses on our youth and inspires them to be successful. Building self-confidence and self-worth is her focus for the youth. She feels that this is her passion, as well as her calling. God is using her to be a guiding light and a community leader to assist in the bright future of our youth. But not only that, she hosts various annual talent and fashion shows to raise donations for many of her charities: pediatric cancer, autism, sickle cell, obesity, teen bullying, suicide, to name a few. Annual Bowl for Souls Christmas Toy Drive, Back to School Drive, partnering, volunteering with other positive organizations. See, you also find her at almost every charity event held throughout the city, where she extends herself in the community to raise awareness and support so many causes. And not only that, man, she enjoys doing it. Huh? How many of y'all can say that? Y'all come on. Listen, I got to continue. She's a radio personality at the ATL Connect radio show. Kente Carpet hosts at first annual Apex Pyramid Awards. Red Carpet hosts immediate advocate and community demonstrator, public service man, woman, a trendsetter, Atlanta socialite, fashion coordinator, event planner, advisor. You just want me to keep going on. I can tell you. Life and empowerment coach. Listen, not only that, I'm almost finished. I just got to let y'all know who I'm talking to tonight. I'm talking to somebody. Listen, she's highly decorated. In 2013, she had the I'm Everyone Award for Community Excellence from the Still Standing Foundation for Domestic Violence Survivors. She was nominated for 2014 Community Excellence Award called the Rice Awards, 2015 SOFAC Unsung Heroine Award presented by Judd Hatchett, won ATL's Hottest Cares 2016 Award, nominated for Miss Atlanta's Hottest in 2017. My God, you can find her pursuing her acting career in shows such as BET's Being Mary Jane, Season 4, Star of Survivor's Remorse, Season 4, Making Moves, the movie. I like that, Making Moves. See, that's what we're doing. Anyway, Beauty and the Beholder, and Bravo's Married to the Medicine stage and a stage play. She's the advocate, the socialite, the amazing Lady M, Marcella Phillips. So glad to have you here tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. That's right. Give me that. Wow. Give it up. You got the crowd going crazy.
You were getting tired. I was getting tired too. You mentioned and all those things. I'm like, wow, I have been busy.
Yes, you have. I wasn't getting tired of reading. I was getting tired of seeing me. I would have been tired doing all this. You have done that. I can see the work gloves and the shovel in your hand right now from just doing it. And that's powerful.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I forgot. The producer told me to make sure. I was supposed to bring you out with a song. Hey, what song did y'all give me? What song did y'all give me for? I'm trying to see the song.
And every time I hear something hot,
yeah, that's my song.
Come on, that's it. Come on.
Something about this joint right here.
Oh, we go. Come on.
This joint right here.
Come on.
It makes me wanna.
Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. Y'all need to dance still now. Okay. Cut the beat, DJ. We got an interview to do.
I was thinking it was gonna be I'm Every Woman. It's all in me.
you know what? That's what we should have went with. We're gonna do that next season. Hey, we're so excited. In this season two, you are my final guest. And you know, next week we'll have the best of the Lions game. But I'm so glad to have such a busy and energized woman who's doing something special in your positive energy. Now, I just want to ask you one question. I've never asked any of my guests this question. It just, as we were forming the show and building around you, I just want to know, what was your childhood like?
What was my childhood like? My childhood was like, wow. We have a big family. Big family. I come from a big family. Always the one, the light in the midst of all the kids. I was the one, the quiet one, the one that tried to stay out of trouble. Sometimes I did. I throw a rock and then hide my hands behind my back, but I never got caught. You know, I was that kid.
That's the kid to be right there.
Yeah, that was a kid to be, and I just watched, sit back and watch everybody else get in trouble, and I learned from what not to do from their mistakes, you know. Just try to lead by example, you know, just try to be. I always had older people who mentored me. I had an old soul, so I like to hang around older people, learn a lot. They taught me so much about life and how to carry myself and not to mix myself with trouble and stuff like that. So it was graceful. It really was. I had a great childhood. I watched my mom. Our house was kind of like the safe haven house for a lot of kids who were having trouble at home, and they would run to our house. We would hide them, and we were just so passionate about that. And we always worried about them when they did go home. And, you know, my mom always intervened in those situations. So that was kind of like how our house was. So it's kind of like I'm walking into my mom a little bit. Like I see some reflections of those things in my childhood as now, as I'm getting older and walking into my passion and my purpose and all that. So, yeah, I had a good childhood.
That's okay. That's great. And you're doing what you were growing up doing. That's amazing. How did you become the woman you are today?
It was overnight, right?
It just happened overnight.
It just happened overnight.
Overnight, just bam, wake up, you was there.
Just woke up like this. I just woke up like this. Yeah. how I became the woman I am today. Just the strength of my mom. Just inheritance of her, just her being the woman that she was and all the things that she battled. It just me watching her, and she really inspired me so much. I lost my mom 3.5 years ago, and and I just admired her strength. She went through so much, you know, sicknesses, domestic violence, and she was just always a giver, you know. She was a life coach and didn't realize she was a life coach. Everybody always came to her, for whatever problems, issues that they were having. Our house was just that house. And so we were the people's house, you know. And so that's how I became who I am, through my mom, you know, just watching her and her inspiring me to just be kind and be nice and always being there to help others. You know, That was just a normal thing for me.
Well, we certainly appreciate your mother and who she produced you to be. You know what? I have another beautiful lady on the line who wants to chime in and say something to you. You know, I work with her a lot. Caller, are you on the air? Caller?
Yes, I'm here.
Caller, you want to say something to our special guest tonight?
Hello, Marcella. This is Lisa Solomon.
Hi, Lisa. Hi, beautiful. How are you?
I'm wonderful. We are so excited to have you on the show, and I'm looking forward to being at the event in January, and we are just excited about all of the things that you are doing for the youth, and I just want to say thank you. That is just awesome.
Thank you so much. I thank you for your support. I thank you for that.
Most definitely. Okay. We're going to give you that.
Thank you.
All right. All right, Lady Lisa, you can't take over my show now. You're supposed to say just a few words. You're trying to keep on call.
Well, nice talking to you, Lisa. Thank you for chiming in.
All right. Thank you.
All right. That was my wife trying to take over the show, but hey, I got it back now. We back on the interview.
Because you know what, John? We will talk, and we will take over the show. We will talk.
Boy, you bet. Hey, I've had shows where we have several women on the show, and a few. Boy, this one lady, she went on and on and on, and I was like, okay, John, be the moderator. You gotta shut it down. Like, can other people get in? You know. No. Hey, in your bio, it talked about you working with the children, which we see now has already been in your resume from a little one at the hospital. How were you influenced by that? But how did that make you feel being there among the kids?
Well, it wasn't what I anticipated. Number one.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, was not what I anticipated working with Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. I first worked at Image Children's Center, and it was a center for children as well, diabetes, neurology, all types of things that, you know, the kids were going through, specialties that the kids were dealing with there. Mm-hmm. But I decided to go to transfer over to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. And I was not aware that I would be working in a cancer center, really face-to-face with cancer kids. as time went on, I didn't expect to stay there as long as I did. But and it was one of those praying things. I kept asking God, you know, to remove me. I can't deal with it. I can't, you know,
very
this
emotional.
Is something that I can't. I'm sorry.
I'm saying
I'm sorry.
It was very emotional. It was
very emotional. And I cried almost every day. You know, I was like, wow, I felt like I was in the jungle. Like I was really like put to the to the ultimate test working here. And but I after a while and he did not remove me, I knew then that my purpose was to be there. And whatever that purpose was, I needed to define it and figure that out. 7 years later, 7 years later, they did fire me at one point because I became this advocate. I started seeing some things that were not right. I got in a lot of trouble because I put my heart into it. And they didn't want that. They just wanted me to come to work, focus on work, and have no compassion towards the people. And that's not me.
Mm-hmm.
Not how I was raised.
Right.
And so they let me go. And I was like, okay. So they knew that I was taking this to a different level because you have cancer kids versus sickle cell kids, for example. And those sickle cell kids does not have that physical look of sickness. They just have they like more of the internal, you know, the pain and all that goes with it. And then the cancer kids, they look like they have cancer. They look sick. And so they felt that they were being discriminated, like, and when they started saying, Miss Marcella, why we don't have this and why do they get this and don't get that, you know, why are we treated? And then you hear the nurses talking and saying little things about the sickle cell kids because, you know, of course, they have color and automatically they think because they're sick and they're in pain that they want pain medicine, which causes them in their world to be addicts. So they want the kids. They're calling the kids addicts at this point. And I'm hearing this. I'm walking by and I'm hearing the nurses talk about the sickle cell kids. So-and-so came in the hospital over the weekend and, you know, they just wanted drugs and all this stuff. I'm not giving them drugs and all this stuff. And I was offended. So I took it to a higher place and we were called to come in on a Saturday for a mandatory meeting, and they wanted to train the nurses that did not really understand what sickle cell was and gave them a mandatory training for sickle cell. And that's when I got in a lot of trouble because everybody was mad at me at this point.
Yeah, people are mad now because you made it real.
They had to come in on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Right.
What's your life like? Oh, yeah, come on now. Come on.
So... But the manager at the time, she was a black lady HR, and she said, you know what? She said I'm going to make this a mandatory thing because I'm tired of hearing this. This is not the first time I've heard of sickle cell kids getting treated differently than the cancer kids. And of course, it's sponsored by Aflac Cancer Center, and then it's blood and blood disorders as well. So those kids did get more privileges than the sickle cell kids through funding and all that. But I just didn't feel it was right, especially when the kids came to me about it and they have like the Make-A-Wish, you know, for the cancer kids and the sickle cell they don't have the Make-A-Wish for the sickle cell kids. And I didn't think that was fair to be on the one roof and then these set of kids don't get this and those set of kids don't get that. But sickle cell kids pass away too. They die just like cancer kids do. You know, so I don't understand that Make-A-Wish why. One or the other. On the one roof. And I ruffled a lot of feathers and I made a lot of people feel uncomfortable and it became very political. They ended up calling me back to work, coming back, and I came back. And then probably like 4 years later, I was still there, of course. And then it got to the point where it was really draining. It was really draining me. It got so bad. It got so political where they were just, like, messing with me all the time. And I had to just fight, you know, every day. And then at one particular point when I knew that it was over, this is it, because I'm going head in, full force, you know, they're really at me. They're really trying to get me out of here. So, God, you know, give me a sign, you know, help me figure out what am I supposed to do on the outside. I'm really tired of working in the inside, trying to advocate for these kids and do what's right and help them to understand what death is, what life and death is, and how to continue to move on until that time comes. And I would always tell the kids, you know, I would remind them that God has the last say. God has the final say. And that was my thing with them. Like, they would tell me that they're going to die. You know, like, oh, I only have 2 weeks, or the doctor said I'm going to 6 months. And they would be so, like, yeah. And you know how that is hard, like, for a child, a teenager, to come up to you and tell you that the doctor gave them such amount of time to live. And I always reminded them, like, God has the last word. Do you understand that? God has the last word. It's not what men say. It's what God say. And I always asked them what they wanted to do. What do you want to pursue? If you wanted to do anything before you left this world, what is that one thing that you wanted to do? What's that one thing? And then they would start talking about, I want to sing. I want to dance. I want to model. I want to do this or that. And then I just my mind just started working. And I said, okay, let's get these kids on the stage. Let's do this.
Oh, man,
let's
do that.
Who do I know? Let me use my resources, that kind of thing. And I started pulling them outside of the clinic onto the runway, onto the stage, you know, performing and stuff like that. So that's how ITEE started.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah, that's incredible, man.
Yeah.
Okay, I know. Hey, we got to go to a break. I just could not cut that off. That was so incredible, so inspiring, so touching, man. Just to hear how, you know, even in sickness among children, they're still political, you know, funding and organizations and, man, wow.
Absolutely.
Listen, we're going to go to a break. Y'all hold on. We'll be right back. We're talking to Miss Marcella Phillips. Man, she's a life former, and there's more than meets the eye. We'll be right back. Y'all hold on.
Have you priced commercials lately? Advertising can truly break your budget. At Win, we eliminate the most common hurdle to advertising. Advertise with Win to reach potential customers locally, nationally, and internationally for as low as $150. Yes, that's right, $150 per commercial. We Inspire Network Radio is a new and rapidly growing online radio network that boasts of dynamic seasoned show hosts who are drawing audiences from across the nation and abroad. Africa, Australia, Scotland, Canada, just to name a few. We also have the technical capabilities to advertise your products and services through sound bites, slideshows, and more. No long-term contracts. You pay per show. Advertise on Win, and you are sure to be a winner. For more information, call us 201-477-0469. Email Annie Bell at wealthmanagement-fs.org.
Now, many of you are trying to become millionaires on a middle class. Why? You can't go to the next level on the same level. Why? Now, let me give you a quote from Ayn Rand. The question isn't who is going to let me. It's who is going to stop me. Now, that's beast mode. I'd rather partner with somebody like that who's got a high school degree going all in than to partner with somebody from Harvard who's got a PhD that's half-stepping, that's tiptoeing. Christopher Columbus said, you can never cross the ocean until you have the courage to lose sight of a shore. Going all in is faith displayed in action. Whatever it is that you want to accomplish has a wide level required to bring it about. Many of you are half-stepping because you doubt your own talent and ability. Now the way to fix that is to shift your trust off yourself and onto God and His ability to make it happen. When you put your trust in the right place, all the hesitation you got will dissolve. If you're gonna make a mistake, make it full speed. The question isn't who is gonna let me. is who's gonna stop me. You see, champions are just average, everyday people who decided to put it on the line and go all in.
That's right, go all in. Who's gonna stop you? Listen, I'm Apostle John L. Solomon, the Lion Among Lions in the Lion's Den, and my new name, Mr. Right. Why am I Mr. Right? Because my wife says I'm always right. No, she don't, but that's just my version of the story. Anyway, you tuned in to Script from the Lion's Den. We're powered by We Inspire Network Radio. I'm partnering with a good team of people at We Inspire Network Radio that want us to just win, baby. Win. I want to thank everyone who's tuning in tonight. You're the reason why we're here. Tonight, Script from the Lion's Den, we're talking to the life former, and it's more than meets the eye. Miss Marcella Phillips, and she is phenomenal. We just thank you so much for what you're bringing to the table tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, indeed. Listen, that was powerful. How you encouraged those young people. God has the last say. I could almost visualize you talking to some of them. You know, that's just that's incredible.
That was that one thing that my mom always told us. You know, when we were young, God has the last say, and I never thought that would come back to me as I got older to use that, you know, with these kids. And it was just so natural to say, like, wow, you know, Mama, you prepared me to say just this to these kids, you know, and it was powerful, you know, just saying that to them, you know.
You know, it's incredible. You work with cancer and sickle cell youth. I've worked with the autistic community, and I thought that was enough. I've worked with all of them from pre-K to kindergarten on up to teenagers, and then autistic kids. That was my. I was like, man, I'm at the top of the ladder. But when you said sickle cell and cancer children right there on the front lines, I was like, man, that's a whole nother that's a whole nother topic right there. So
and I
can imagine the emotional pull. And I appreciate you for being real about the situation and having the guts and the fortitude to take that, you know, take that fight. And that's what makes you the powerful advocate that you are, willing to take that fight to the higher up. You know, I knew that was love.
But that's one thing they know. They know I got their back. So, you know, whatever. And the thing about it, John, is like when I came on the outside of it, I kind of teach them to advocate for themselves. This is your weak. This is your sickness, and this is what you need to talk about. This sickness, you need to let everybody know what you go through, and that's part of their healing, and that's part of understanding, and it's building, and it's helping them to be stronger by talking about it because. They, you know, they go through all the peer pressure, all the bullying and all that stuff on top of being sick. And other kids don't understand why they can't come to school or why they can't play sports and why they can't spend a night. Why they can't do kid stuff. They don't understand the full effect of the whole sickness. And this is why I put on these shows, these events, so that those kids can come out and talk about what they actually go through. So they pretty much take over the whole show. Like when I do an event, they have the floor, they do the red carpet, they host, and they advocate. They get on the stage, and they're my special guest speaker, and they help us to understand because a lot of it I don't understand, especially with sickle cell. I didn't understand the whole dynamics of sickle cell. Why are you in so much pain? Because you look like you're okay. You know, so help us understand what that sickle cell feels like. And after the kids are more, they are really in tune with what these kids have to say. And it just woes me. Like, I'm like, wow, they're so interested in understanding what's going on with little Johnny. And they ask questions and they engage in the conversation and all of that. So, and that's the purpose of it. Is them helping each other. And you'll be amazed how these kids support each other. They really do. They support each other a lot. And it just warms my heart. That's my mission, is for them to advocate and help us to understand what it is that they're going through so that we can help them if we don't understand.
That's incredible because, we can go all day talking about kids because I love me some kids. And especially the bad ones. I said the badder the better. You know,
that's a challenge for me.
It's a challenge, yeah, right? I had one kid today. Okay, I'm gonna get back to the interview. Y'all wait, hold on. I gotta tell y'all this. You know, this one kid. He said, I'm a little off today. I ain't take my medicine. I said, that's all right. You're not your medicine. We just get to see the real you, and you just get to be the real you today. But I said, it's all right. I said, they're going to do it. You can be you for the day, so go off. Do what you be you. You know, I got you. Okay. Now, this is so powerful. What would you say has been a defining moment for your career as well as for your life?
The defining moment? When I lost my mom, I grieved. Mm-hmm. A lot, and I didn't understand that was like the hardest thing in my life that I had to deal with. I didn't think I was going to get through it, and so it turned into a spiritual thing, a journey for me, just getting over that and through something. And at that point, I asked God to just come into my life and give me my show me my purpose. And help me, give me strength to pursue the things that he wanted me to do. It wasn't even about me anymore. After my mom passed away, it was just like I just surrendered everything over to God and say, hey, God, you know, this is your body, your temple. Just use me to whatever it is that you need me to do. At that point, when I said that, when I spoke it, it's just like my whole world just changed. I started getting so consumed into things, like things were just happening, and I was just, I always said it was my mom, you know, I said, this is my mom, you know, this is her personality, she would be doing this to me, and things were just coming about. I was getting awards, and I was getting put in movies, and getting all this exposure, and you know, just one person after another. Would you like to do this? You know, just all these opportunities just started open. The doors just started opening, and I promise you, a lot of stuff that I did not even reach out for. The radio show, guy, people that I didn't even know, just reaching out to me via Facebook or social media. Hey, can you be on my radio show? Can you do this? Can you do that? And I'm like, you know what? I asked God to give me a voice. Give me a platform so that I could speak about the things that matter. I could be a voice for the voiceless. And then all of a sudden I get this call, and this guy wanted me to be on his radio show, be a radio host. And I was like, wow, this is my opportunity to talk about the things that I want to talk about. And everything that I was speaking about, everything was just coming. And I've always been the type of person who's always been behind the scenes. And this particular time, God was telling me, I need you in the front. I need people to see you. You need to shine. You need to be a light for others. Yeah. And then I started just like boom, boom, boom. And I look back at like when you was reading off my bio, and I had that reflection one day, and I said, oh my God, I've just been in this zone. I have not even realized that I've been doing all these things, like really seriously. And it had not been me. It's not been me, I promise you. It's just been like one opportunity after next. And I wait on things. I don't go before myself. I wait on God, and I stay in my lane, you know. I walk in my own path and my own journey, and if it doesn't make sense in my life, I don't do it. And so that's just been that reflection. You know, I think it happened when my mom passed, and I was just going through my whole grieving thing, and I just started seeing life in a different way, and the whole spiritual thing just started going for me, and the whole journey and all that. And that's why I call it a journey. And
I love how you put it in perspective when you said I walk in my own path, because I've seen and known so many people that they're living a life that's not theirs, you know. It's not the life that they want to live. It's something that somebody has given them, or that they kind of got stuck in. But it's like, I love you,
somebody.
I'm walking my path. And if it don't make sense to me, I feel
it
that.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't make sense, it's not for me. And a lot of things I've turned away from, I've gotten offered to get awards and stuff like that that don't even match with anything. And I've turned them down because I'm like, that's not me. That's not... What am I getting that award for? Like, that's not for me, but I can nominate that person who I feel is deserving of that type of an award, you know, and stuff like that. So it's I just try to maintain my lane. That's it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Like, somebody wanted to give me the Hip Hop Artist of the Year award. And I was like, wait a minute. I just started my battle rap career. Well, not really, but anyway, I digress. Marcella, you're grounded, you're wise, you're observant, and yet you love life. How do you balance that passion that you have for everything, but, you know, for your heart as well as living your life? How do you balance all that?
Well, most of the things that I do is my passion. So it's so easy. It's purposeful.
Okay.
It's so easy. And it's like second nature. Like, I breathe it, sleep it, eat it, all that. So it just goes so smooth. And people think that I don't sleep. They think I'm a robot. And I'm always and I just laugh about it because I'm like, I am right here on my bed. I am working. I'm sleeping.
Yeah, yeah.
But people think that I don't rest. I don't do that. But I do. I maintain. Mm-hmm. I take time for myself. I meditate.
Mm-hmm.
I date myself. I've learned to do that last couple of years. Learned to just. I've never been the type of person to be by myself, and I'm learning to be by. It's okay to be by myself. That was one of my fears of being by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And even dating, you know, I've always, you know, been with someone. I was, you know, married and then, you know, long relationships and stuff like that. So for the first time in my life, I'm single and I'm by myself. And so everything that I pretty much do, I'm by myself. And I had to get used to that. But I'm in a good, comfortable place with it. Just getting to know who I am.
Okay, I don't mean to interrupt you, but would you call that self love? Would you put that in the category of self love, of loving
yourself?
Absolutely,
absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's powerful because as you were speaking that thing, I was like, you know what? It's so many people who are where you are, they struggle with it, man. Maybe they're having a problem, you know, finding that love. What did Whitney Houston say? The greatest love of all, you know.
Yeah.
Learning to love yourself, you know, I think it's one of the greatest.
It's the greatest,
love, learning to love
gift.
Yourself.
It's the greatest gift of all.
Mm-hmm.
It is so true.
Mm-hmm. How did you get into acting, Marcella?
I got into acting. My friend Kay Chills. Saw this opportunity for me to, and I always, deep down inside, I felt like I always wanted to act because I'm always acting silly, and me and my kids, we just, you know, do this little skits and copy movies and stuff. You know, we have that kind of little fun time together.
Mm-hmm.
And I always told them, like, years ago, I said, we should do a script. We should do a script and just do a mother, daughter, son, act it out, that kind of thing, because we're always playing around the house and doing stuff like that. And but I never thought that I would be like on a show.
wow.
I get a call from Kay Chills. Actually, I think before then, that was the first one. Being Mary Jane, he got this. He saw this opportunity for me, and submitted it. He sent it to my email. I was like, "What's your email?" He sent it. He said, "Fill this out. And you need to apply for this. You need to go for this. You need to be on this." You know, he always see the great in me. Is that is my brother from another mother. And he is. And I said, you know what? I said, I don't know if I'm going to be picked, but let me go ahead and submit this little thing. And I just submitted it, and I get a phone call the next day, and I'm at work, and I'm just screaming, and I'm like, oh, my God, they want me to come and be on Mary, like, the next day, like that after, probably, like, mid-morning. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going on set. Oh, I got to get my hair done. I'm just going crazy. And I got my real first feel of acting, and I'm like, I was not impressed after the end of the day. Because we were on set for 15 hours.
Woo!
So, like, 15 hours.
Yeah, we built for that.
Yes. 15 hours. But when I saw that check, I was like, okay, I'm entering a different kind of world right now.
All right, yeah, I love that. Well, you know what? I did a little. I've done some acting. I remember I got my first taste of acting. Matter of fact, I got an award for it. I was in the third grade. I played a tree. You know, I played a tree. I just stood there and I brought that tree to life. I just looked
But that was the first thing that I did, and then social media is powerful because a lot of opportunities mm-hmm. I've gotten was through social media. People don't understand, like, oh, you're always on Facebook, you're always on Instagram. Okay, that's an opportunity. It depends on what you're looking for.
They don't understand the tool, right? They don't understand the tool.
Yeah, what you're looking for is what you're going to get, right? So you can use it for whatever, you know, you desire to use it for. But anyway, it found me. I didn't find it. And I get an opportunity to be in a movie, like a real movie, and I played a acting coach in this movie called Making Moves the Movie. And you know, I was always using this hashtag Lady on the Move, which was kind of ironic that I would be in this movie. And yeah, that was a great show. I played an acting coach for actor Sean Baker in there. So he gave me a lot of good tips during the whole movie set and everything. So it was really cool, and I was able to bring a little of my own personality into it. So that was like my first movie that I was in. So just going to a movie premiere and people see you on the screen and they start screaming out your name in the movie theater is like, oh, like, I made it, you know, that kind of thing. I think I made it. So,
oh man, that's so exciting.
Yeah. But then one thing just kind of like went from after that, you know, one thing after Survivor's Remorse and Married to Medicine. And I've been in like, you know, just some background stuff, loving hip hop and all that other stuff. So, you know, it was. And then I actually cast a group that I was managing, the Sheltons. I casted them for a movie with Forest Whitaker and Usher, a movie called Burden. Based on a true story. It's a real true Christian story about a pastor in South Carolina who was battling with the KKK, and a whole lot of stuff went on down there. It's a really, really good, good story. But they played the choir of this church in that movie, and Forest Whitaker played the pastor, and Usher was the son. And so it made it to the Sundance Film Festival. So I was proud of that.
Oh,
you know, to have
my hand on it. Man, I'm telling you, we just applaud your accomplishment. Listen, you know, always ask, you know, when people come on the show, I ask them questions sometimes, and I, you know, just trying to get the truth. But sometimes people won't answer.
Answer the question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Is there anything that people mistake about you when they see you, but it's far from the truth of who you are?
I think so. I remember a time where a friend of mine told me that a friend of hers, she wasn't my friend, she was my friend's friend, but I was cordial with her. And you know, you have those friends who just kind of, they're territorial, whatever not. But this particular girl told my friend that she didn't like me. And that was the first time in my life that I've ever heard of anybody not liking me. And I was like, and she was like,
why you don't like me? Wait, hold on.
Yeah, like, why you don't like me? And my friend was like, yeah, she said she didn't like you and it just made me mad. And they fell out about it. And she was like, how do you not like Marcella? How do you not? Why don't you like Marcella? And I was like, yeah, why don't she like me? And I've always been cordial. I said, but I have a strong discernment for people too. I know when people are real and when they're not, and you know, and I go by energy. You know, if your energy ain't good, I don't even deal with you.
That's it.
I'm cordial at the same time, but Yeah, so I think, I don't know what that thing is that people, let's see, people may mistake me as being a little standoffish, I would say. I'm just cautious. I'm very cautious.
Right. We just observe our environment, you know,
yeah.
And check what comes into it, right?
Yeah, and since when I'm such a giver, people will take advantage of that. I've had people who've taken advantage of me, who got me for money, who's got me for toys, you know, whatever, all the stuff that I'm doing for the community.
Right.
You know, they have conned me and stuff like that. But you only get a chance to do it one time because, you know, God has always got his eyes on me. So I just, like, I'll let it go. I'll let you have that one. But I kind of try to do things. You won't get another one. So
right.
Even with the Christmas, absolutely. With Christmas give back, you know, I kind of like started adopting families instead of just going out and just giving out toys and stuff and having people call me and say, hey, I need toys for my kids and all this stuff. So I kind of like screen people a little bit and then just get with families who really, really need, really that
That's
don't
right.
have anything. And so I personally take them to them myself. And it just creates a great bond, and I understand their need to maybe, you know, want to help them with other things later on, or if I know of any other resources, I'll send them directly to this family. So it's more personable now, the way I do it. So that kind of helped me from feeling burned and used in a way. So I kind of do it that way.
Bitter.
Yeah. My kids are like, Mom, you need to stop. You giving this and this and that. I said, well, let me just do it a different way so that I won't, you know, like you say, feel bitter and may want to stop doing what I'm doing. You know, I don't want to get discouraged about what I'm doing. And so I just make it a personal give. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And that philanthropist side of you is still able to thrive, you know?
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Hey, listen, we got to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we hate to close it, but, man, this is so powerful. We have really been enjoying tonight. I know, right? You truly are a life former. Hey, when I first heard life former, I said, what? That was born to me. You don't say transformer life, but you truly are a life. Okay, I'm going to break. We'll be right back. Y'all hold on.
We'll come back to it. We'll come back.
Hello, my name is Minister Lloyd Bell Jr., CEO of We Aspire Network Radio.
God bless you, and I am Minister Annie Bell, the COO of We Aspire Network Radio. We had you, our listeners, in mind when we created We Aspire Network Radio, or as we like to call it, WIN Radio.
We incorporated your thoughts and opinions to ensure that our programming will embody true inspiration.
And we will continue to bring relevant and heartfelt shows that cater to the needs and wants of our growing listener base.
Please, subscribe to our network so that you can stay connected.
Join us here every week,
where together, through God, we win.
A lion leads. It's about having the courage to stand and fight for your life. Having the strength to go bravely in your own direction, even if others walk away. You tread your own path. Only you know what's best for you. Only you know what path to take. Only you know your courage, your strength, your heart. Everyone has the heart of the lion inside of them. Let it out. Let it scream out of you. Like the lion, unleash the beast in you.
That's right. Strap up. Unleash that beast. I'm Apostle John L. Solomon, the lion among lions. Mr. Wright, you're tuned in straight from the Lions Den. We're powered by We Inspire Network Radio. Man, I'm telling you, tonight has been phenomenal. Talking to Marcella Phillips. Jesus, you are a true life former. As we read your bio, it's more than meets the eye. The bio speaks so many volumes, but just talking with you and discussing what you're doing. And it's like, it really is the tip of the iceberg because, what's that song that God's song, I ain't tired yet, because you have so much more that you're going to do.
Much.
You know,
so much to do. I have so much to do. I'm not done yet.
You ain't done yet. Where have you seen God's hand move the most in your life? I know all over it, but what would you say?
Mostly with patience and strength and power, just giving me the power to pursue whatever it is that I desire, and through pain, and through pain became my purpose through all of this. You know, I'm a survivor of domestic violence. You know, single mom. I came to Atlanta with two kids and $200 and some in my account, and just finding a way, and just having faith and trusting God that He every day is going to be a different day. It's going to be a better day, and just me looking back on all of that. And I can tell my kids, like, you're going to go through some stuff. You're going to go through some stuff, but you keep the faith and you keep moving. And through everything that you've been through, there's a purpose behind it. And once you start finding that purpose of what that was, then you'll be able to move on gracefully. Like, everything that comes at you will be like, you know, you'll feel like a transformer or superwoman or Superman or somebody. Everything will just ricochet off of you, you know. And so I've just learned that I don't hold grudges. I teach my kids, my nephews, all my mentees to forgive. Once you get through that forgiving process, you're good. Like, that's that blockage that holds you back from pursuing everything that you desire. Once you forgive, and like specifically forgive, and I'm saying, like, I'm preaching. Like, I forgive you, ex-husband, for that time when you pointed that gun at my head and you threatened to take my life. I forgive you for that. I'm specific with that. I'm calling out your name, and I'm calling out what you actually did to me. And once you move past that, it's like thank God for that, because I wouldn't be where I am. And I get very emotional about that, because that was a hard moment. I was a stuck moment, and I didn't understand that forgiveness part. And I just started forgiving people, and then started forgiving myself. And you have to forgive yourself too. Because you put yourself through a lot of things, too, for no reason.
Now. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, you forgive people. You forgive yourself. And
yes.
Yeah.
You know,
so
I do that sometimes. I'll go through. I say, I'm clean. I'm clear. I'm transparent. I said, God, I don't forgive everybody. He said, what about so-and-so? What about? I said, ooh. He know how to say, what about that one? I said, oh, okay. That's so powerful.
But you know what, John? You cannot give people that power over you. So you have to forgive them. And when you don't forgive them, it's like they hold that key to your life. They hold that key to what's in front of you, and you can't even see what's in front of you because you're so busy holding on to the grudges and all the bitterness and everything that they've done to you, and you can't even see what God has in front of you because you're stuck right there. And once you start shedding all of that away, and you can just see clear, like, wherever everything that He has in front of you. So that's one of the things that I have learned in my life, that to forgive and move on, and that you have a mission right in front of you. You got things to do. That's my thing.
That's
I have things to do.
Man, I can't have you in my way. That's right. You can't be in my. You know what? At the turn of the year 2015, at 2014 I got to make it. I got to Georgia in 2013, but and you know me and my father, we had a rocky. I had a lot of animosity towards him, but at the beginning of 2015, my wife was telling me, you need to forgive him and this and that. She kind of broke some things down for me, and I released him, and we began to talk about what we were going to do in this new path, and then in February, he passed away. And I just thank God for the opportunity that I had to clear the space, you know,
That's
to
right.
get all that all that debris out of the way, you know? And I said, man,
yeah, yeah,
it's so powerful. And how I the conviction I would have had to carry if he had went to the grave and I'm still
not
holding on to this and that.
That's,
you know,
right. That's right. That would have ate you up, like seriously. And that's what I try to teach these young people, because, you know, I became a life coach to help young people transition into their purpose. Some of them may not want to go to college, but they may have that purpose or that passion deep within them that they want to pursue instead. And just helping them to define what that is, that's my goal. It's like, let's see what your strengths are, where your passion is, where your heart is, what you desire to do first. Because you're going to come back to it anyway. Once you get all those degrees and all that stuff, you're going to come right back to your passion. It might be you want to play the piano or guitar or something like that, but that was in your heart to do. And so I try to help them figure that out. And I deal with my family members. they call me their life coach.
You are definitely the life coach. You might the life former. Listen, you know what? I hate to go, but we're gonna pick this up in season 3 because they're picking me up again. We're gonna bring them back. We'll bring the life former back. How y'all feel about bringing
the life
former
back
season 3? What y'all think? Yeah. That's a done deal. Right. Hey, Marcella, we have a few minutes before we go. There's someone listening to you tonight who may be going through some things, some struggle, and you are a proficient at articulate as well as heartfelt speaker. If you could just minister to them for a minute, whatever they're going through, maybe your words could just help them. If you could just take a few moments and share with them.
I would just have to say, just stay focused. Don't give up, and know that you do have a purpose in this life. God have you here for a reason. You're not here to just to be burdened and to be in pain. And He has a purpose for you. And once you surrender yourself to Him, you will be able to see your purpose. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on life. And just stay focused. That's my main thing, is just staying focused. Keep your eyes on the prize, because there's something waiting for you out there. So.
All right. Hey, we just thank you all so tonight. There you have it. Marcella Phillips, the CEO and founder of ITEE.
ITEE.
International Talent. ITEE,
oh,
International Talent Elite Enterprise Incorporated.
March 3rd. We have changed the date to the Youth Excellence Award on March 3rd. We will be at the Port of Sanford Arts, and we will be we're nominating youth in the community or doing excellent things. If you know of a child that is rewarding of a Excellence Award, please send their bio and their picture to Marcella, marcella.itee@gmail.com, so that we can, you know, let them know the great things that we see them do in the community. So,
excellent. Hey, there you have it. March the 3rd, the Young People's Award. Hey, we're going to be there. Listen, tonight you've been blessed. We've ended the show with a bang. What better way to end the show, the season? We're going to be back next week. We're going to give y'all the best of the Lions Den. But tonight has been a blessing. It's blessed my heart. It has changed me. Listen, forgiveness is what she mentioned. She talked about being authentic. So many things. You're going to catch the replay. So if you heard it tonight, you catch that replay and let somebody know it's going to be coming. And we're going to get it to you as soon as it's up. We just appreciate you, Marcella. We bless you.
Thank you. And thank you for all you guys do. You and Lisa are so great. Your spirit is so warm. I love being around you guys. And keep doing what you're doing.
All right, man. We will. All right, y'all. I'm Apostle John F. Solomon, the host of Strength from the Lion's Den. And guess what? As we close this season, I want you to know that we the willing, led by the unknowing, are doing the impossible, sometimes for the ungrateful. We've done so much with so little for so long, we are now qualified to do anything with nothing. And it's all because of God. We just give God glory and praise, and we just ask you to keep standing. And we're going to go out with this. Y'all, good night. We'll see you next week.
We got a rock concert. Just turn it up. There we go. Come on. For grace. Everybody got to declare it. Everybody get on your feet. Say, this is my season. Yes. To reap what I have sown. Let me testify just a minute. See, I haven't been perfect. No. But I sure been faithful. God's got a purpose. Hey. And I know he's able. I've got to see in the ground that he's blessing. No more stressing. I've got to see in the ground. And it's growing. Now it's showing. This is my seed. Come on, church, for grace, for favor. Yes, it is. This is my season. Give me some of this mic right here. Come on, sing it again, church. Say, this is my season. For grace, for favor. Yes, it is. This is my season.